Good morning, dear saints. I hope you've had a good holiday. Let me just give you a few more seconds to come in. Looking forward to a good time of fellowship this morning. All right. One more second to come in. Okay, so we'll just give one more second just so that you could come in. We're giving so many one more seconds. All right, so I'll just go with go for it this morning. I trust you've had a good holiday, and you're having a good holiday and ready and getting ready for the year ahead. Trust we're going to have a beautiful time as a church, and also have a beautiful time of fellowship this morning. As much as possible, avoid all forms of distractions as we go into the word. Let's just agree with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is double accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, go all the way with me to Matthew's Gospel. Let's see a few things this morning from Matthew. So we look at Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28, and we'll look at verse 18. Well, today we'll be looking at a series on the love of God, and what I'm going to do is that in the next few minutes we're going to be spending time today, I would ensure that I communicate a few things to us full of lots of instructions, and also it's from a series we did earlier in the year. We did a series as a church in the UK, local church, which we're going to, you know, say a few things we said from that series today, and also pay attention to some things that we need to focus on as a local church in the coming days ahead. And also for Nigerian church as well, it's one of your, whilst preparing for your schedule for the month or for the year 2025, one of the things you're going to pay attention to as well is the local church series. But I'm just going to start it up today and see how far we can go about that. So if you go to Matthew's Gospel 28, if you go all the way to verse 18, right? Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them." Look at that one more time. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Right? Let's look at that again. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me." That word power is what authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay, in heaven and in earth. So if you look at verse 19, it now tells you that "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Right? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son," right, "and of the Holy Ghost," right? And now he's teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of time. Look at that one more time again. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," right? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now that's the instruction that Jesus gave, right? And he now says in verse 20, he's teaching them to observe. Now the word they observe is the word terio. You see, that word they observe is the word terio, right? That word observe is the word terio, right? And that word here means that we need to be attentive to details, or to attend to something carefully. That's the meaning of that word there, okay? To attend to something carefully, right? To observe carefully. to observe carefully and deliberately. Right? Look at it one more time again. He says, teaching them to observe. Now, we said the word they observe means terio, and it means to observe carefully, to be deliberate, to pay attention, right? So you pay attention and guard whatever you are watching carefully, right? So it means you would allow your observation to be void of distractions, okay? You would allow what you are paying attention to be void of distractions. So you will not allow distractions to hinder or alter your consecration, or let me say it differently, your eyes being fixed. I'm not teaching on consecration as much today, right? So don't think that that's jumped out. No, I'm just trying to look for another word. Okay, well, even though what we're going to teach you will be around that. But what I'm trying to say is, right, you see, your eyes being fixed on the ball means you would actually give yourself away from distractions. So your eyes paying attention. You know how it is when you want to look into some of these cameras that we have, that you have your IOs, your whatever you call it, right? You know how you have to close one of your other eyes so that you can use one eye to look into it. You know why? So that the other eye will not cause a distraction to the eye you're using to view through us or see through the lens of the camera, right? So that's what you observe, you pay attention. Now, if you look carefully in Matthew's Gospel 28, the instruction there is to go ye therefore and teach all nations. There is not one instruction that says we should go and open churches, not one. There was none of the instructions there that says we should go and open, you know, Bible centers. No, not one. Not one, right? There's none of them that says you should go and start opening different branches of the church. No, not one, right? But you will find out that the only way we will fulfill that mandate is by opening groups and centers in different parts of the world. Okay? Are we together? So look at that carefully. It says, go ye therefore and teach. The word they teach there means make disciples of all nations. Right? So it means by default, you are a believer, you hear the message of the gospel, you are brought into the kingdom of God, and on account of that, there's an instruction to you. Okay? There's an instruction to you. You are brought into the kingdom of God, and there is an instruction to you. Right? There's an instruction to you that says, go ye into the world. Okay? There's an instruction to you that says, make disciples. Right? So in the real sense, you will find out that that instruction comes to everyone that becomes born again. Alright, so he says, go into all the world. Now, if you look at what Jesus says in Matthew 16. Now, I hope you have the writing material with you, and I hope you're not just admiring your screen, and I also hope that you're not just preparing the meal for this afternoon, right? You know, ideally, we'll be together, right? So it means you can take out this sacred time or this time, right, and get ready and actually listen to God's word without any distractions. Right? Yeah, that's what they're real, right? To observe, pay attention to what is being said, right? Because we'll be saying quite a few things today, okay? So, if you look at Matthew 16, I hope you're taking notes. We've gone to Matthew 28. You saw my emphasis in Matthew 28, right? My Matthew 28 emphasis was actually around the word making disciples to teach all nations and the word observe, terio, okay? Look at Jesus in Matthew 16. If you look at Matthew's Gospel 16 and go to verse 13, you know the story, but just look at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, right, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Yes? So he asked, who do people call me? What do people see me as? Or who do people say that I am? So the same, right? He now says in verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say that thou art Elijah, and some say that thou art Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now look at verse 15. Now Jesus said unto him, whom say ye that I am? Yeah? Jesus said unto him, who say ye that I am? Right? So some said you are Elijah, some said you are Jeremiah, right? Some said you are one of the prophets. But the question Jesus now asks them is, so who, in all of this, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Right? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Look at that one more time. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. right? So he says, who do men say that I am? Right? He said, some said Elijah, some said Jeremiah, some said one of the prophets. But who exactly do you think that I am? So Jesus is asking, what is your perspective, or what is it that you think about me? Blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, if you look at verse 18, it now says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, the question is, I will build my church. Is that a narrative in the real sense of a building that has been completed, right? Or a building that is ongoing, or a building that has been completed and is still ongoing, right? So I've turned over time, right? And one of the things we said when we did that study was the fact that whilst it is a finished deal based on the resurrection, it's also an ongoing thing. So I will build my church is an ongoing conversation. So what is God doing on the earth today? Yeah? So how can you summarize God's mission, vision, statement on the earth today? God's vision, mission, statement on the earth today is building his church. Look at that. Building his church. I'm not going to pay as much attention to the, you know, theology behind, you know, how we arrived at the conclusions we got to. Genesis 28, you have those teaching available on our website in different series rather, and also within Christed emphasis over the years, right? Genesis 28, Genesis 32, we've done, you know, Psalms 2, Psalms 8, 2 Samuel. So we have all of those details compressed together in different series, right? But I'm going to jump the gun, so to say, right? So you would find out that what God is doing on the earth is actually to build a church, or to build a people. Are we together? The word "their church" is the word in the Greek ecclesia, right? That's the word in the Greek. It is the word ecclesia, and that's the word that speaks about a gathering of people, or a gathering of citizens, so to say, right? Called out from their homes into an assembly. I'll say it one more time. The word ecclesia, I'll spell that for you. E-double-K, if I'm not wrong, if I'm not mistaken. E-double-K-L-E-S-I-A. Ecclesia is the word they charge, and it speaks about the gathering of citizens brought out from their various homes into an assembly, right? So it's a calling out of people, right? A calling out of people, or a called out people. Right? So the church will speak about a people that have been called out. The church will speak about a people that have been separated. Okay? So when Jesus will reply, upon this rock I will build my church. Are we together? So it means there is a building that Jesus is doing. Are we together? There's a building that Jesus is doing. So in the temple of God, you are a block. Are we together? In the temple of block, you are a block. I remember one of the things we taught last year in the UK church was the fact that, you know, whilst we are blocks in the temple, we are also bricklayers, because we are also helping in the laying of bricks in the building of the church. How? Matthew 28, go ye therefore into the world and teach, that is, make people disciples, that is, add men to the building that God is doing on the earth, or add men to the building that God is building on the earth. Right? So he says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Once you do that, what you are doing is you are helping as a bricklayer of the Spirit, in the Spirit. Anyhow, you want to say that. Okay? So Jesus will say, upon this rock I'll build my church. Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9. Go all the way to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, and go all the way to verse 9. And let's see what Peter says there. So 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. So a chosen generation means we are those who have been called out, and we are now brought into, right? So we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Right? What makes us peculiar? In the fact that there is something that is unique about us. Right? That means we are part of the instrument, or let me say it differently, we are part of the bricks that God is using to build his church. Okay? So he says, we're peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you. Right? Now, what did you say about church? We said ecclesia speaks about the gathering of people from various homes, right, into a household or into an assembly. Okay, so he says, called ye out of darkness into his marvelous light. So it means that we are called into an assembly. Now, one of the mistakes a lot of us make is that we don't distinguish between the universal assembly and the local assembly. Are we together, right? So it's not far-fetched in our world. It's been there from time where people say, I am the church. Because you are called out. Are you a people? No, you are not a people, sir. You are not a people, ma. Are we together? So we are called out in the real sense means that we are called into an assembly for us to have an assembly. Yeah, so one of the things we did in the local church series, it lasted for about 4 months earlier in the year. And one of the things we did was to show the disparity between the universal church and the local church. Yeah, there's a universal church, there is the local church or universal assembly. So we are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is the assembly in which we have been called into. So God is in the work or in the process or in the has been in the activity of gathering people unto himself or bringing people into himself or into his light or into his word or into his assembly. Right? So when the Bible says going into the world, when you find yourself fulfilling that instruction, you are co-laboring. Are we together? Yeah, like Paul would say, we are co-laborers. So we are co-laboring with God in his building on the earth. Are we together? So one of the things that God will expect from us is the fact that because we are called into families, right? There is not one building in the world that will house all the believers. That is why the earth really is to be the Lord's. Are we together? Right? So what is God's desire? That the earth will be filled with the knowledge. So it means that God's desire is not a time, is not looking forward to a time when one church will house or one building will house all the believers in the world. No. It is that the earth will be the dwelling, full dwelling place of his spirit. Altogether, the earth will be the full dwelling place of his spirit. So it means that the earth is God's vision. Are we together? Yeah, the earth is God's vision. So because there is not one building that will house everyone, it means there will be several buildings at various places that will house several people. Are you with me? Right? There will be various people, certain people within a locality that can easily have access to each other. You get the point? Yeah? That can easily have access to each other, right? So that becomes the local. So you call it a local church, a local assembly. A local church is not where the activities of that locality is predominantly enforced. No. A local church just really means an assembling of people within a locality with the function and the aim of what? Doing the will of God on the earth. Together. So a local church is not that, oh, because we're in this part of South Africa, we're in this part of Zimbabwe, this is how the locals do things. No, see, would you want to interact with the way they do things to portray or to preach the message of the gospel to them? Oh yeah, you might find yourself having to do that. Are we together? But I'm saying the essence of local church is that people within a confined region, people within an environment, people within a sphere will gather together and find themselves within a local gathering. So it will be gatherings of family members at different parts of the world. Okay? So if preaching the gospel is God's will, if preaching the good news and making disciples is God's will, right? If building a church or building the church is God's will, then it means that the local church is God's will. Are we together? You know, some of us think that, you know, we can live a Christian life from our beds. You know, I don't like fellowship with people. You know, people are just too stubborn. People are too troublesome. You know, people are difficult. Let me tell you something. As long as you are breathing, you know that song, as long as I am breathing, as long as you are breathing, yeah, you will find yourself, right, with different difficult situations in this world. Are we together? See, don't let anyone present themselves to you as they are the only ones that don't have issues in this world. It's not true. It does not exist. See, in all the imperfections of man, we derive our sense of perfection from the knowledge of the resurrection, and we allow that influence our imperfections. Now, I'm not saying because you know everybody is imperfect, you now start living a very silly life. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need to pay attention to the perfection in the resurrection that we alter and tilt and change. Are we together? Those seemingly imperfect situations and scenarios in your life. Are you following me right now? Okay, right? So the truth remains that as long as you are on the earth, yeah, no matter how much you want to live a life of, you know, hidden, as long as you want to grow in life, you want to grow in career, you want to grow in ministry, you want to grow, yeah, as long as you want to actually live a life of fulfillment of purpose on the earth, you will have to interact with people, right? And there will be people you interact with that can make or mar your life. Altogether. That's why your choice of local church matters a lot. Your choice of local church matters a lot. When you are in a local church, are we together, and you decide that that is where you want to be blessed, your choice of information you allow into your sphere can either make or mar your life. Let me tell you something. There is none of you listening to me who is not a product of influence. None of you, including myself. Altogether. In fact, even people who claim no, nobody influenced them, that practice of that teaching or that doctrine is actually influenced by somebody. Do you understand? There is not one person on the earth who is not influenced by another. You get the point? That's why the local church should be a safe haven for us, right? A safe space for us where we try to influence ourselves onto into good works. Are we together? Yeah. You know, there's some people I listen to and I speak to. And when I just hear what they say, I just know that they've listened to this person, listened to that person, listened to this ideology, listened to this, you know, this conversation, or they've had interactions in those conversations with that person, with those people. Why? Because you don't just wake up from the blues and just create ideologies in your head. No. You actually interact with people. It could be on social media, be in your church, be in your office, be anywhere you find yourself, right? And that now frames your perspective to life. Altogether. So the local church is God's plan. The local church, 2 Timothy 2:2, will say, right, the things you heard of me, commit to faithful men. Let me ask you a question. If Paul tells Timothy, commit to faithful men who shall teach others also. Let me ask you, if Paul had 200 disciples, How will he divide his day to be able to teach one person per time? How would he divide his day to be able to teach a disciple, right? And spend time with a disciple and do that for 200 of them in a day, in a week, in a month? You'll find out that if someone has 200 disciples like that, you find out that if they want to practice teaching one person per time, yeah, the first person they start with might not be taught again until another 1 or 2 months, or sometimes 3, 4 months, depending on how fast it can be. Yeah, the point, right? So it means that if Paul will say, the things you've heard of me, commit to faithful men, it means that we will do that by establishing centers at different locations. We will do that by establishing centers at different points in the world. Are we together? So there will be God's palace. Are we together? There will be Jesus' palace. Are we together? Right? There will be different names. Different. No matter what the name you call it, the vision should be one. That we are together in unity, fulfilling the will of the Father, of the Master on the earth. Are we together? So men will be teachers to other men. Right? Men will be teachers to other men. So as a man, you learn from another. As a woman, you learn from another. Yeah? I've used the word man to capture both genders. Okay? Right? So as a man, you learn from another. As a woman, you learn from another. Right? So in the real sense, God's method on the earth will be men. Look at it. So God wants the earth to be saved with the knowledge of, or to be filled with the knowledge of his truth. Right? How will he do it? Through men. How will he do it? Through men. So man will be God's method in the earth. So man is God's method on the earth, right? So if a man does something wrong to you, right, what is the replacement? You know, you cannot say, oh no, I don't like the way he treated me when I went to apply for that contract. I'm not going to relate with men again, eh? Let me tell you something. It's men that will still come and bury you after you die from hunger. You get the point. I hope you just get that joke. Yeah? Yeah? Oh, I don't want to interact with men again. No, man. Well, you will look for another man. You will look for another company that will be run or managed by men. Else, what will happen is it is the same men. Right? Let me tell you something. If someone decides to isolate himself from man and is dying of hunger, dying in poverty, in the real sense, Even if men don't want to interact with that body, a time will come, if that person dies in his privacy, right, men will begin to smell around. I know how the smell travels, right? So men will begin to smell, no matter how distant you are, men will begin to smell it at a point, and they will want to trace to where the smell is coming from, and they will want to tackle the smell. Men. Altogether, right? So, you see, your rise and fall in life, your rise and fall in the affairs of life, your making of mind of your life, even in ministry, is dependent on the man you listen to, right? In God's palace, for instance, yeah, there is a man you listen to. Are we together? We have, you know, pastors, we have leaders, but there is a leader in the church, right? There is a man that where all the other leaders are reproducing and repeating the same thing the man is saying. There was a visionary behind what you call God's palace today. There was a man that started the narrative. Yeah, there will be a man, there will be a woman that will start the narrative from the beginning. Are we together, right? When their time on earth is over, when our time on earth is over, yeah, it is God's will that men will continue it. So, you know, it's wise for you to know who your man is. It's wise for you to know where your heart should be. You know, I'm going to be addressing a few things today, right? You know, some of us, we find ourselves in situations where we don't even know how to guard our minds and our hearts in relationship with men, right? And one thing I found out is that a lot of times, it comes from a place of pride. Yeah, it comes from a place of pride. James will teach us, right, that God resists the proud. Yeah, yeah, you know, it's a thing that you need to actually be careful of, right? And I'm saying to you in the coming year, you would ensure that your heart is shielded from pride. You will ensure your heart is shielded from, you know, selfishness. Like I said last week on our Christmas service on Wednesday, right? That sense of selfishness, it's about me. It's just about me. Oh, I think I now have this. You know, no matter what you've attained in life, you like be a first-class upper graduate. Are we together? No matter what you have attained, if you sit in the midst of professors, yeah, where maybe the least of them has been a professor for 20 years, you know, you actually put down your certificate behind. Yeah? But what makes you now start making you feel like you are superior? Because you see, wherever you think your trumpet, yeah, the sound of your trumpet gets to, that's where another person's trumpet starts from. I just said a usual common parable we all know in a different point. Yeah, where you think your success has gotten to, you'll find that is the you know when you want to build a house, you put black ore, you know, you put membrane, you know, you put some foundation things. That's the sand that people use for their house, whatever they are building on, as success. I was together, right? So you need to ensure that you maintain that heart of humility. I found it that in our world, it's been like that over time. Paul even cautioned about it. But the truth is, a lot of us want to be proud, but we don't want people to correct us. Altogether, it's still the pride. Yeah, we want people to be at our bed and call. Let me tell you, if your pastor cannot correct you, the safest, best bet for you is to find a pastor that can correct you. Altogether, yeah, that's the safest. If you have a mentor who cannot correct you, maybe because of how much you give them, that's a puppet. Yeah, any mentor who cannot bring you to order, your Miss Baby cannot call your head and give you a spank and bring your head back to normal. That's not your mentor. That's a puppet. Yeah, someone who you are paying to say what you want to hear. Let me tell you something. When it comes to the Christian faith, there is a Bible way we do things. There's an ideology and perspective we have. There's an orientation we have. There's a mindset we have, right? Because in all of what we are doing, we are supposed to be supporting, fostering God's building on the earth, not hindering God's building on the earth. Are we together, right? Not hindering God's building on the earth. So there will be people, for instance, who will get themselves involved with so many different kinds and sorts of narratives, right? And you see them going around to look for how to manipulate people, connive with people, bring people. Yeah, the truth is that you are either supporting in the building or you are helping in destroying. Are we together? Yeah, you are either supporting or you are helping in destroying. Altogether. So you must understand that attitude, that mindset, the slant you must have in helping, in helping will not be something that will always be, you know, I'm saying what you will find in scriptures will not be something that will always sit well with you. Are we together? It will not be something that will always sit okay with you. Pastor, I enjoy the teaching. Let me tell you, there are days you will listen to me, right? You will go back home rejoicing and you are happy. You go heal the sick, raise the dead. You go do all sort of things with God's power that you've come into contact with based on knowledge. But there are days I can tell you that you need to listen to your pastor, your leader, your mentor. You go back home and you cry. I've had those days. Right? When you go back home, you cry, you repent. And after you cry, you repent, you wipe your tears, then you jump up and shout, glory to God. And you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, in our world, I found out, I'm not pastor for long. I'm a very, very young pastor. Very, very young pastor. Very few days. But in my very few days, I found out that a lot of us don't like to be scolded. Don't like to be corrected. Don't like to receive correction. We don't like to, you know, do God's work the God's way. Are we together? Let me tell you something. Correction will be something that will have its basis in scriptures. Are we together? Every correction might not be able to be pointed to scriptures verbatim, word for word, this correction. But as long as that has its premise on the scriptures, it is correction. Are we together? Right? So in the coming days, you will get yourself ready for God's word so that there will be this pastor will preach, right? And you will go back home and you will weep. I don't mean cry. You will weep such that the record will be, and Joshua wept. Yeah. Yes. Then you will stand up after the weeping and you will say, glory to God. I'm privileged and fortunate to be found in the midst of correction. I'm privileged and fortunate to have a pastor who can call me to order. Let me tell you something. Calling you to order might not always be private. There will be those that will be private. There will be those that will be open. Let me tell you something. If Paul didn't call people to order openly, we will not have record of it today. Yeah, Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he will say there is division amongst you. He will write about that in 1-3 chapter. And just to get to chapter 5, I say there's a brother among you who is sleeping with his father's wife. You know, some of us are Gen Z mind. Some of us are not Gen Z, but we act like Gen Z. Because Gen Z knowledge is what is predominant around us, whatever that is, right? Yeah, our Gen Z mind will say no. Paul should be more sensitive. He should have called privately. Yeah, there are matters. And you know, for some of you as members, you might not have experienced it, right? But so for some of you as leaders, you would have experienced it hard on, right? There are matters where I call you on in private. There are matters where I call you out in open. Yeah, it will never stop. Yeah, the day you find out that it stops and you know you are even in the wrong, in your conscience of conscience, you need to check it. Are we together? You know, don't be the one who pastor corrects and is scared that you can give me a dirty slap. Are we together? You know, I've told you a story about that before, right? Where you want to start correcting someone, you now have to take 5 steps back. No, don't be that person, right? In the coming year, you will make up your mind that you will be among those that will help in the building of the church. And how would that happen? In the building of local assembly. Are we together? So we are all products of influences, right? Hebrews 5 will let us see that there's no one who, when being corrected, will be joyous about it, right? But the joy or the fact that you're being corrected should be seen as a thing from a place of love. Are we together? You're corrected today, you change your body language, you become moody. You're corrected tomorrow, you change. How will you grow? Let me tell you something. A man who doesn't have another man who brings his head to normal is somebody who is actually heading to destruction. It will be sooner or later. That's the truth. It will be sooner or later. Yeah? When you don't have another person who can, like, you are always correct in your eyes. Everything you do is correct. Every perspective you have to life is the correct perspective. And no other one matter. No. A time will come when matters will be above your pay grade. Are we together? And you need that man. You need that woman. Are we together? Who will call you back to order? Who will call your attention back to order? Who will realign you? Are we together? Yeah, look at how Paul says it, Proverbs says it. Look at Proverbs chapter, let me show you that one quickly. Proverbs, go to Proverbs chapter, let me look at Proverbs 12. Look at Proverbs 12. Proverbs chapter 12, quickly. Proverbs chapter 12. Are we together? Proverbs chapter 12. You will look carefully in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, verse 1. It says, whosoever loveth instructions, loveth knowledge. Are we together? Will there be instructions that will be clear-cut giving? Let me tell you something. I hope you know that not every instruction that will come out from scriptures or will come out from your pastor will be palatable. Not everyone. Are we together? But scripture says, whosoever loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. But he that hated reproof, that's the word correction, rebuke. Yeah, he who doesn't like rebuke. And how do we know you don't like rebuke? We see it in your body language. We see it in your body charisma. We see it in the kind of things you say afterwards, the kind of things you do afterwards, the things you stop doing that you were doing because you were corrected. Are we together? What the scripture, I'm just reading the Bible to you. It says, he that hated reproof is brutish. You see that word there, brutish? That's the word that has its root word, and the word asha. Is it asha? I think that's the word, I think I wrote it down somewhere else. That's the word, we taught it earlier, baha, sorry, not asha. Yeah, baha, right? And it's a word that speaks about stupidity, right? Fully. Right? Stupidity. Right? So another translation will say, he that hates rebuke or reproof is stupid. Altogether. You don't like rebuke. You don't like correction. In the coming year, you will make up your mind that let me tell you something. You know, I'll tell you a lot of things. Once you find yourself in a place where you think the man in charge, your pastor, you know, is the one who can guide and correct you, there is no point hearing a teaching like this. And what you are thinking of is, what about pastors who tell their members to eat grass? Is that what your pastor is telling you to do? Is that what your pastor is asking you to do? You know, some of us, we try to create balance where there's no need for creating balance. Are we together, right? That the Bible teaches honor in scripture does not mean that people will not take it a step above or 50 steps beyond. But that does not change the fact that the Bible teaches honor and teaches double honor to your pastor. Yeah, but what are those who, you know, their pastor is, when their pastor is walking, they lie down and the pastor is walking on them. Is that your pastor? Why? That's the devil. Why is that your counter solution? Your counter remedy? Why is that your counter ideology to obeying instructions, to receiving rebuke, to receiving corrections? Are we together? Right? In the coming year, you will make up your mind. And I'm intentionally teaching this again because we have both churches together as one right now. Yeah? In the coming year, you will make up your mind that you will give your all to support in the building of his work. And how will you do that? By giving your all to support your leaders, your pastors. Very important. Very important. Are we together? Right? So it says, whosoever loves instructions loves knowledge. But he that hates reproof, that hates rebuke, is stupid. Are we together? Yeah? So it means it is foolishness to think that everything about your Christian life should be, oh, you did well. Oh, you did well. Oh, you are doing well. You know, I've told you there are days, right? Where I remember one of the widest watched video that we've had as a church. I think about 3-4 minutes or thereabouts. Right, and I just said something maybe the second minute or there, but it was four minutes long video. Right, this was probably 3-4 years ago. Right, and people were having views, people were posting, people were checking, and my pastor called me to order, and he said, this post is Bishop. This post, I didn't wait for what he was saying. Do you understand? Like I always tell you, I don't teach what I don't practice. Oh. I didn't wait for what he was saying. I didn't wait for him to complete it. The moment he said, Bishop, this post. The moment he just said, I took down the post on the call. On the call. First, I found it as a privilege that he even had time to watch it. Are we together? And for him to see a mistake there and he called my attention to it, I did not wait for the call to finish. On the call, I traced the post on all social media platforms. I brought everything down. That's the heart of a disciple. Are we together? That's it. So it was when he now explained, and also that, I just made a very careless mistake in the book of Hebrews. Very, as in that video, the video was probably 3-4 minutes long. And the mistake I made, who am I not to make mistake? I'm human. The mistake I made was, it was actually in 5 seconds. If I'm even exaggerating it. It was literally 3 seconds. 3 seconds. 3 seconds of that video. It was three. I still have the video. I still have the record of that video till today. 3 seconds of a 4 minutes video that was already doing well. People were already reposting, resharing. And I took it down right on the call. Then listened to his explanation. Then went back, then recommended to the teacher. I went back to go and study it. Altogether. And let me tell you something. From that day till today, that matter, I've skipped it. Why? I'm still studying it. Oh my goodness. Yeah, this was 2020 or 2021. From that day till today, that scripture, right? When I teach that scripture, I don't even what I've learned that is the new thing that I know is probably the most correct thing, I'm not taught on it from then till today. you've still been growing. You did not lose anything. You've still been growing. Right? But can you see, how many of us have that attitude? Yeah? Yeah? You know, in our world, for instance, you even find out, you know, you see people just dress ridiculously. You dress naked. You say you are going to the beach. You wear rubbish clothes. You say, pastor calls you to that. I say, eh. But you know, people that should, they should close their eyes. Men should be more disciplined. Yeah? You see, he who hates rebuke is brutish. I want to get that. Hey, pastor, what do I wear to the beach? What? I know. I want to wear to the beach. You know, I always give an example for those of us who have those ridiculous arguments. Yeah? Simple. You are in a room private. A man walks into the room. What happens? You try to cover your privacy. Is that not correct? Yeah? As a woman. Yeah? And what that happens, the same thing we're trying to cover is the same thing you now wear out publicly. Is that not the work of the devil? Do you understand? So of us will still now this thing is not befitting of a leader. This thing is not befitting of a leader. I know for some of us, for instance, who are leaders, who am I not scolding the way I will scold members. Say, I don't like the way pastor spoke to me. Who is he to speak? Let me tell you, who are you not to be spoken to? Who are you? Are we together? That does not mean that pastor should go out and be lambasting. Is he every day pastor is lambasting you? You've known pastor for 5 years, no pastor for 3 years, no pastor for 1 year. Has he lambasted you worse like that? You understand? It means that what you did is wrong. Is in the wrong. You know, say, I have a pastor, you know. He says, who you who hates? And what I found out is a lot of times, because people hate rebuke, they turn it on the mode of rebuke. Which is why people twist the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, Bible says, preach the truth in love. You know, I heard a lot of people say to me, people don't say, I don't even have energy for that. People don't say that again to me, because I don't even, you know, converse with people as much like that. You know, but probably from 5-6 years ago, you need to turn down. The Bible says, preach the truth in love. What they are against is the rebuke, the correction in scriptures. But the easiest thing, yeah, in foolishness to do is to hide behind the tone. Are we together? Am I saying tone is not important? No. If that's what you heard, then you're not hearing well. Yeah? Am I saying the way it is communicated is not important? No. I keep saying it to you. Yeah, the things we teach in church, I'm reteaching them as I grow. I'm re-saying them as I grow, saying them differently, trying to ensure my tone is calm, trying to ensure that, yes, we are all growing. Yeah? But you will not say, because a tone is not calm, you don't receive a correction when you are in the wrong. No. You see, in the coming year, you will make up your mind to receive correction. You will make up your mind to receive with open minds, open hearts, yeah, as long as it is predicated on the word. I believe I'm talking to members who are God's Palace members. And I believe that you know, as a church, we pay attention to the word. Are we together? So he says, a man that hates reproof is brutish. That means he's stupid. Are we together? So you cannot afford to put yourself in a point where you are not, where you cannot be easily caught. You are telling people, feel privileged that someone sees something bad you are doing and can speak to you. Think about your child. You have a child, you have a son, you have a daughter, or you have two sons, you have two daughters. Something is wrong. Are we together? Yeah? The day you stop correcting things that are wrong is the day you start losing them as a father or as a mother. Are we together? One of these days, we'll do a series on, you know, managing the home front and managing conflicts, really. Because, you know, sometimes we have some parents who, the father is brash or harsh and the mother is calm, and anytime the mother is calm. No, there's a way to actually put a singular front, right, in raising people. Yeah, it's just like me correcting somebody in the church and the person runs to another leader. And every time I correct the person, he runs to another leader. That you are just putting your leader in that trouble, because leader might soon be asked to leave on his position. So I cannot give a correction as a pastor, and your cell leader is saying, no, don't worry, no, pastor, don't, pastor just used to overstep sometimes. Just no, that's wrong. Yeah, and that's what we practice in the home. Are we together? But the day you stop bringing correction to your child, are we together? Yeah, as a child. I'm telling you, you did something wrong. You go and say you're not eating in my house. You say, go and say you leave the house. How many of us, when we were growing up, wanted to leave our parents' home? I was one of them. I never left once. Yeah? I never left once. You know, how my father corrects me like this? Who do they think? Who are you? Who are you? That's the question. Always ask yourself that question. Who are you? Who am I that cannot be corrected? Are we together? Right? So, you say, no, you don't know the annoying thing of my life. No, I can't. Well, see, let me tell you something. By the time you think, all of us, most of us, I don't think I've, in my few years of living on this earth, I don't think I've met one person. I don't say they don't exist, though. I've not met one person who they left it. They said, I'll leave the house, and they left the house true. They wait till maybe when they're in their 20s, they have their job, they are in university. I've not seen one. Maybe you know, I don't know. Altogether, nobody enjoys correction in time, right? Nobody enjoys correction in time. But when correction comes, what do? You act on it. When correction comes, what do? You act on it. When correction comes, what do? You act on it. Altogether, you act on it. You act on it. You act on it. Yeah, you amend. Yeah, you amend. You know, and even when you are correcting as well, there's a sense of sincerity you have that will make you own up to that and even apologize. Pastor, I didn't see it that way. I didn't think of it that way. But you know, some of us will just change body language, change mood, and it's just so funny how these things happen. Yeah, but I'm saying to you in the coming year, right? Corrections will not reduce in God's palace. Corrections will remain as long as they are having their foundations in the word. But what do you do about corrections? Which I'm going to use David and his sons to show us a few things this morning, right? So in the local church, there will be those who have rule. You will have your leaders, you have your pastors. And we're together, you will have those who have oversight over you in your cell, those who have oversight over you in your department, in your choir, in your, you know, welfare, whatever department you want to call it. But there's a thing called having a sense of unity of purpose. Are we together? Having a sense of unity or purpose, because we can only do it together as one. Imagine I was building a church, building a house, and I build today, and you come tomorrow and destroy it. When are we going to roof that house? That's what a lot of us do in the local church. Altogether. And that's why you as a person, you must know. You know, you see a brother, you see a sister who has been very fervent, very consistent. All of a sudden, they are withdrawing from responsibility. They are withdrawing from activities in the church. You need to be careful of yourself. Yeah? The wrongest things we do in our world is to go and say, sister, who asked you opening? Are you a leader? Are you a pastor? You know, it's a different thing if you have a sense of leadership. And that's not me saying that there's no sense of accountability amongst ourselves. Right, but there's a way you will find out that maybe because this one was corrected, that is why the person is withdrawing. You don't have any business knowing the story of why the person was corrected, because more often than not, I rarely see people who, when they are corrected and they tell their side of the story, they say it innocently, they say it genuinely, they say it in the fullest context. I've seen a few people. I rarely see people like that. Rarely see people like that. So even as a member of the church, the first thing you do is first speak to speak to your cell leader, or speak to your pastor. I noticed that this sister and this brother, is everything okay? Pastor, in his wisdom and tact, will be able to tell you, it's not something serious. Yeah, you know, I take it from there. I say, I want to hear the two sides of the balanced equation. They are not serious. Yeah, very few people will tell you the whole perspective, the whole image, or the whole concept, the whole reason, the entire story. They will just say, I don't like the way he spoke to me. No matter what I did, ask them to tell you, what did they do? They will lie about it. Just because you must keep your heart sane. You must keep, know where you are in the building. Know what you are doing. Yeah, when you are seeing people destroying what God is building through local churches, right? Through the universal church, through the body of Christ generally, don't be amongst them. Don't be amongst them who go to Twitter and open YouTube page. I would get the day anybody who I disciple opens a YouTube page to be castigating pastors and putting them side by side, is the day I stop taking that person seriously. Yeah, I stop taking you seriously. Yeah. My goal is to reveal the error. You are an error. You yourself are an error. You know, what they do, they pick one part of the pastor's teaching, another pastor's teaching, and say, could it be that this person is replying this person? People that are in their different churches, speaking to their different crowds, speaking in different contexts. Could it be that Pastor Joshua was replying Pastor whatever it is? Could it mean that Pastor this person was replying? You don't have any business with that. Keep your eyes fixed. Yeah, you are either building our way together or you are destroying. Let that be your mindset in the coming year. You are either building or you are destroying Are we together? If you find out that the pastor who you have does not, you cannot listen to their instructions, yeah, you don't want to see them, you don't want to be in their sphere, right? You don't want them to correct you. Either you find another local church, or grace and peace be unto you, go and start up your local church. Are we together? You know, life should not be hard. You know, life should not be complex. Yet you find people who their hearts are no longer in the local church. They remain in the local church. They are causing division. They are causing strife. I'm going to look at David's story to show you quick examples today. They remain there. They are speaking to so and so. They are saying, you see, that man, we know all his flaws. So, you see that woman, she'll be acting as if we know all the flaws. What are you doing there? Go find your pastor or go open another church. I want together. Go find your pastor or go start your church. It's simple. You don't have to make. See, as long as you start and you are discipling people, you are still helping people build. Is that not true? You are helping the kingdom to grow. At least start do ministry in Bible way. Yeah. So one thing you must understand is that in the coming year, as we grow as a church, we're going to have diverse kinds of people. How do you keep your heart? Let me use a quick example, a quick story to show you that today. Right. So our unity is very important as a church. Right. No matter what happens, don't allow it to affect it. Don't allow anybody to come between you and your reverence and regard for your pastor. Don't allow it. Yeah, as a pastor, I don't allow it. Yeah, I don't allow it as well. Right? Yeah, when you start seeing some traits that other people can watch and see and be influenced by it, right? And it can tone down their honor and double honor that is expected for their leaders. I correct it in this spot. I don't wait for you to like speak any English when you speak. I don't wait for you. Yeah, because devil plays the long game. Yeah. You will know where it will start, you don't know where it will end. You will know the beginning, you will not know the end. Yeah? Or let me say differently, you might know the beginning, the end might be confusing. You'll be like, but how did we get here? That's how the devil plays a long game. A long game. You'll be asking yourself, but how come there? And let me tell you something, it doesn't keep getting better, except a heart, a corporate heart is redeemed. Altogether, except the contrite heart is, you know, except there's that sense of, you know, a reconciliation. Let me tell you, you see, as believers, we've taught you about forgiveness. I said something a few things, you know, on the last teaching. Altogether, there are people who do very ridiculous things. All I do as a person, but not even as a pastor, you know, just forgive. Let's forgive. Some of them come back to their senses. It might take weeks, it might take months, it might take some of them years. They come back to their senses, right? And they know that there's a lot that is lacking. We're not the only pastors in the world. We're not the only brothers in the world. All together. Yeah, we'll never make statements like, oh, your life will never. No, we don't do all of all those unnecessary conversations. But you know, there are certain relationships that are God orchestrated. There are certain relationships that are supernatural. Yeah, will they have their issues? Yes, they will. But you don't allow the works of the flesh to come in between. Okay, you don't allow the works of the flesh. You don't allow very, very careless things. I remember there was a very dear relationship of mine, you know, who is something very minor just happened. You know, and how we handled it, it was a two-way thing. Yeah. How we handled it just made everything realign and look like it did not exist again. Yeah. How you handle it, because we are seeing the bigger picture. That's the ideology, the mindset you have. You are seeing the bigger picture. Are you helping to build? Are you destroying what God is building? Are you helping? Don't join people to destroy any man's work. Yeah? Face your work. If there's a camera that watched each and every one of us in our private space, in our private life, in our private office space, some of us will not be proud to watch it with others. Yeah? Face your business. Face your local church. Face your disciples. Face the people you are winning, you are preaching to. Face your leaders. Face the instructions that are giving you. A pastor gives an instruction to his church. Are you a member of the church? Why are you fighting the instruction? Why are you quarreling with the instruction? Your pastor gave an instruction you don't want to obey, but you are seeing another member obeying the instruction of his pastor. You are saying, no. He said, they are brainwashed. They are brainwashed. Let me tell you, wash your brain. Stay with the instructions you have. Yeah, as long as you know that your pastor has a clean heart, a sincere heart. You know, Hebrews would let us know. He says, pray for your leaders, pray for your pastor, for the trust they want to rule, right, and lead with a sincere heart, an innocent mind. Yeah, but things might not go as you think they should go. So there's no point looking at, how would they say in that church, they should tell them it's not your business. You are not in the position. And but Paul saw walking in the flesh, and he corrected Peter. Are you Paul? Are you Peter? Do you know what Peter had done? Do you know what Paul had done? Do you know the extent of relationship they had? Do you know, you understand? Don't just pick scriptures half-heartedly and just mix it together and just, you know, what do you call it? Defend your, you know, ignorance or brutishness, so to say. I was together. Yeah, so let me show you a quick example. You'll find out that a lot of the epistles, if not most of them, were written to churches in mind. You have Corinthians, you have Romans, you have Ephesians, you have Galatians. Even those that are related to people personally, they were churches in mind. You have Timothy, you have Titus, right? Yeah, the same thing, churches in mind. So what is it about the church? The devil is looking for how to destroy the unity and the peace of the church. Yeah? So one of our greatest assets, right? Our greatest asset is the singleness of mind. Philippians will let us know. Like one mind, be like-minded. One mind, one heart, one sense of consecration, one devotion. You have your pastor, you have your leaders. Be consecrated, be devoted there. Yeah, be devoted there. Don't allow anybody to tell you any story that will work on your heart. There are things that people will say that you don't need to hear. I remember talking to somebody very recently. When they start telling me some, you know, ridiculous things about, you know, just say something. And I just, you know, there's sometimes you need to cut people short on the spot. Someone is dishonoring your pastor there. You're just saying, they're just smiling. Let me tell you something. Sooner or later, you will do the same. Yeah? Somebody just talking closely on your leader. Somebody just saying that leader doesn't know what he's doing. He's a very stupid person. I'm saying, just bear with all of us. You're not serious. You're not serious. A time will come, you will do the same thing. You know, that consistency happens. It happens. There are people you don't talk against around me. Generally speaking, you don't talk against people around me. But there are specific people that intentionally make up my mind. I've done it over the years. There are lots of relationships with people, including pastors, who have intentionally decided to go my way. Why? Because you talk about the person I honor. You don't do that around me. Because very soon, I'll start seeing stupid sense. You know what they call stupid sense? A sense that is stupid in what you are saying. It's brutish. Altogether. Right? So you ensure that you are not helping. You are in. See, there's nobody who is neutral. You are either. Let me say something to you. There is nobody in the local church who is neutral. You are either helping to build the local church or you are destroying the local church and by extension the body of Christ. No one is neutral. No one is neutral. If you stay in church, you are not preaching, you are not winning souls, you are not getting disciples, you are not neutral. You are helping against, you are working against. No neutrality. You are either helping in the growth altogether or you are destroying what others are building. Let's share a few examples, a few stories from David and some of his sons and see whether it will take us into Wednesday teaching, right? But it's going to be very instructive as you've seen already. Now, if you go all the way to 1 Kings, right? Let me show you something quickly. I did this in local church service, but let me do this before I go into 2 Samuel. So go to 1 Kings 3 verse 16. Yeah, 1 Kings 3:16. Look at this narrative. Yeah, David, one of his sons, that's Solomon, right? So they then came there two women that were harlots, right, unto the king. And they stood before him. And one woman said, "Oh my lord, I and this woman will dwell in the same house." That means we are flatmates, we live in the same house. "And I have delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I delivered," right, "that this woman was delivered also." So 3 days after, the first woman that gave birth had a child in the same house, and the second woman had her own child, right? And we were together. Look at one of the facts that the woman mentions. He says, "There was no stranger with us in the house." That means it's only four of us that were in the house. Me, the woman, her child, my child. No stranger came in. They're not like the situation where maybe they forgot to lock the door. No. He said, no stranger came in except the two of us in the house. Look at verse 19. "And this woman's child died in the night." Right? "This woman's child died in the night because she slept overlaid on it." Right? So that means you were sleeping, you put your baby beside you, but you know some of us that, you know, even if they do gunshot in front of your sleep, you will not wake up. That's some people like that. So, and she didn't even know she laid on her baby. So what happened? She turned and rolled. Yeah, that's why you see some for some countries, they say that don't sleep with your baby on the same bed until a certain number of months. Are we together, right? I know for some other countries too, it's from that day that they come back from the hospital that they stay in the middle of the two of them. Yeah, but this is one story that happened. It says, and she overlaid on the baby, right? That, now look at verse 20. And she arose at midnight and she took my son from beside me, right? While the handmaid slept and laid on her bosom. And she laid a dead child in my bosom. What was happening? Two women gave birth. Probably, definitely, I would assume two boys. Because you cannot be exchanging boy with girl. Are we together? Except in our world today. Right? And laid her dead child in my bosom. Look at verse 21. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck. Right? To feed my child. That's what she's saying. Behold, the child was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, that was not my son, which I did bear. I mean, she's saying, I know the child I gave birth to. You cannot say because they are children, they all look alike. I know the one I gave birth to. All together. Verse 22. And the other woman said, no, the living son is my son. Who asked you a question? Say, no, the living son is my son. No, that's my son. No. You killed your son when you were sick. That's what the man was saying in front of the king, right? But the dead one is your son. The living son is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. They look at what the king said in his wisdom. The king said, you see, the verdict of the king, the verdict of your pastor might not always sit well with you. But let me tell you, that is why he's your pastor. That's why he's your leader. See, you know, some of us, we take the ideologies of our office space into the church, forgetting that no matter how flat an organization is, there is one who calls the shots. Do you understand? I remember one of the companies I worked in a couple years ago. I got there, the first thing they told us was, this is a flat organization. What they meant was simple, right? If you come to the office by 8 o'clock, and your manager, because we all sat in one open space, and your manager is not at work, right? And there's no chair for you to sit. You can go and drag your manager's seat and go and sit on it. Even me, in the conscience of my heart, I dared not do it. Yeah, I understand it's flat. Like, look at me and say, I'm a Yoruba local boy. That's your business, yeah? My own mind did not teach me that to go and do it. They told us it is flat organization. Yeah? My own dishonor, or what we call honor, they will say we are woke. My wokeness did not reach there. That because obviously we all have the same number of people in the office. There will really be times where there are no other seats to pick. So I'll rather go and pick another person's seat than pick my manager. But they told us. I'm not saying if you do it, you are wrong, though. But don't be very silly to think that people who don't do it are silly. No, you are being silly. I hope you get the parable. Yeah? And never for once, how much? There are others I can walk 10 more steps, drag another seat and come and sit down. Why is it the manager's one that is fitting me and people that like to usurp authority? That's the kind of environments they like. Where they say we are all uniform, we are all equal. Yeah, in local church, in local church, we have mutual submission to each other. In the marriage, we have mutual submission to each other. Okay, if you meet you in front. Yeah, so in the real sense, I never for once picked any of those chairs, right? But the fact remains that when we stepped into meetings and there was confusion on the board, there was a man, Dr. La, who would take the step and say, that is it, and everybody goes. You know, some of us, we pick the ideology of flat organization to even the local church. Are we together? Yet we pick it even into the local church and say, no, we are all born again. We're all righteous in Christ. Your pastor and yourself, you are both equal. Yeah, you and your pastor, you know, is the same spirit. Because the pastor is telling you, the same spirit in me, same spirit in you, you can do the things of the spirit. And you now over-amplify that one. Are we together? And you now say, no, it's mutual submission. You submit to me, I submit to you. Which place will you see that will successfully have a life? Are we together? Where there is no clear-cut way in which order should be. What am I saying? I'm saying because there is that order, your pastor's decision may not always be the decision you think you want the most or you think is the most logical. But guess what? That's why you're not the pastor. Are we together? Like I said, it would be very wrong of you to think, but of other pastors, that's not your pastor. All together, yeah. So if your pastor says, I want things to be this way, you have no rights, you have no need. Yeah, now can you suggest? Yeah, you can suggest honorably, But let's assume your pastor chooses not to take your suggestion. Well, you have no right to say, no, because this is what I think is right, I will do it. No, no. That's what happens. You see, there will be two kinds of people in the local church. There will be the one who will sleep on a baby, being the wrong. And there will be the one who will not sleep on a baby, baby still alive. And the king will bring a verdict. And they will not both be happy with the verdict. It happened to Absalom. We'll see that in the next few minutes. Right? So King Solomon will say, so there are matters that in the real sense, so this person feels this way, that person feels this way, no matter how flat the organization is, we didn't come together to start the company. There is a leader. There is a head. Altogether, there is a leader. There is a head. You know, for the UK church, for instance, you know, I mean, there is no, since we started in almost over 2 years right now, we don't have where pastors sit because, I mean, eventually I come, I play the keyboard, jump on the stage, I preach, I don't even sit in church. Yeah. But you know, for Nigerian church, we have clear, we know where mommy's seat is. You know where my seat is. I don't come to church twice, more than twice or three times in a year. You know where my seat is, right? You know where Pastor Temi's seat is. Yeah. Those seats are sacred. No matter how flat your mind wants to make you think we are flat. Eh? There are things you don't just touch. Do you know, even to today, even my mother, with how close I am with my mother, yeah, the chair in her office, no matter how much I know she wants me to sit there, I don't go there and sit. No, you don't see me sit there. No matter how close, you don't see me sit there. You don't see me sit there. Yeah, you know you can be smart. You know you can be wise. Don't let, if people don't want to be smart, don't let their unsmartness and brutishness join your own. Mm-mm. Yeah, and because people are doing it does not mean that's the way it should be. Are we together? Yeah, because you, before you greet your pastor, or you greet your leader. Ah, good morning, brother. Say hi. You now lift your hand. Say hi. Eh? What is happening? You are allowing their fears affect. So if there's a structure in church, this is how you send messages in church. This is how, you know, I know there are things we have not said extensively to the open. Yeah, we're trying to see them as much to leaders. How together, you know, so you don't just say, this people, their hand is too harsh, their hand is too, I don't know, I just like basically just say hi, and you know there's no hi here, look for where there's hi, or start these things. No matter how flat, no matter how you think your idea or your concept is smart, no matter how logical you think, it is all to be submitted to what is the pastorate saying, what is the pastor saying. Yeah, there are times where you voice out your concerns, say it, yes, you will say it honorably. But the question remains that even if pastor says he doesn't want to hear your honorable, logical idea, is he still the pastor that calls the shots? It is the pastor that will give account for the local church. It's the pastor that will give account for the souls of the church. So I'm saying that before we read the story. So 12 of them now said, my child. So how does King Solomon, who is not there, know what to do? See what King Solomon said. I was together, verse 23. Then said the king, right? Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that should be Solomon, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I just want to be sure, so I'm not calling the wrong name. Okay, think. Yeah. If verse 9 talks about please the Lord, and Solomon asks for the things, and God said unto him, because that will ask for discern judgment and all of that. Yeah. So he asks for something in that narrative. So the one that said, the king, King Solomon, yeah, now said, the one said, this is my son. And thy son is dead. And the other said, nay, this is my son. But thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said, bring the child and bring me a sword. And they brought the sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child into two and give them half-half. Whose decision was that? That's the pastor's decision. Will that sit well for both parties? No. You will not always like the decision of the pastor. You will not always like the decision of your leaders. Yeah, the moment all decisions of the leader sit well with you, you have become the leader. Listen to what I just said. Moment all your decision of your leader is something you think that no, it's everything you say that leader eventually does, you have become leader. Yeah, you become leader altogether. So am I saying there are no times where you bring your suggestion? Listen to what happens in this narrative. The king said, "Bring me a sword, divide the baby into two, and give one to the give one to the other." Listen to that one. No. Then spake the woman whose the living child was to the king. Hear what she said. For her Boaz yearned upon her son. And she said, oh my Lord, you know what? Just give her the living child. What you value there is how you will treat it. Altogether. She had a value for life. She had a value for life. He said, give the little child, living child, right? And please, in no wise, slay it. Look at what happens. But the other woman said, let it be neither mine nor thine. Divide it. I want to get that. Divide it. Divide. No. I don't like appeal to pity. No, I don't like. Let me tell you. People can be innocent with a straight face and they are lying. People can be innocent with a straight face and they are being brutish. You know that word brutish? Yeah? It makes it calm down a little. I want to get that. Yeah? So, the king is seeing two people giving counsel. One said, divide the baby. The other one said, you know what? Just allow her to take the child. And what happens? Then the king answered, see wisdom in 27. The king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay the child. She is the mother thereof. There's how you treat what you value. Are we together? There's how you treat what you value. Yeah? So I'm bringing 2 points from this narrative. There's how you treat what you value. There's also a way that you want something to happen. So the other woman wanted the king to slay the child. I'm trying to say that you can take that narrative into so many other stories. You know, like I said earlier on, there are certain corrections we will bring our way that Paul did not experience them in his word. Paul did not experience people using phone in his word. There's nothing like phone is where my Bible, my notes. He didn't have all of those things in his word. So it means if you want to bring correction to seriousness and, you know, having a single mind when the word is being taught, Paul, we will not be able to trace to the Bible. So it will be very unwise of us to say, but tell me where Paul said to use phone is wrong. You are being very brutish. You get the point? You are being very brutish. So I'm saying there are narratives that you will think, I think pastor should have done this. Yeah, you will sample your view. You know why? Because you don't know what pastor knows. Yeah? You don't know everything pastor knows. You also don't know what God has told pastor. Altogether. You don't know what God has told pastor. You don't know what pastor knows about a matter. You don't know what pastor knows about a detail. You don't know what pastor already, yeah, so you don't. So in the real sense, you will leave that deciding decision, so to say, to the man who is the CEO of the company, regardless of how flat you think the organization is. I've never thought the church is a flat organization. The church is not flat structure, right? That's why when the Bible teaches about honor to ourselves, there's what you call double honor for those who labor over you. It's not the same. All together, we're going to teach all of that in days to come, right? There's such a thing called honor. It's everybody must honor, should honor ourselves, yeah? But there's such a thing called God's order. It's God's structure in the place. God's order. A pastor, a leader you cannot honor is simple. Look for a pastor you can honor. But that you will stay at home and not honor anybody, destruction awaits in front. If you don't find anyone eventually, just look for a pastor you can submit to, that you can honor, and start your local church. I don't mind. If you take, you are God's palace, and you want to change your church to God's place, if you like, go and do it. That's your own cup of tea. I was together. As long as you do ministry the right way. Yeah? Because you cannot listen to instruction, you cannot obey instruction, you cannot follow orders, you cannot follow instructions. Go and start your God's general place. That is your own. It doesn't have to be God's palace. You can even change for another name from God's palace to God's kingdom. It is your own. But as long as you're within a sphere where there's an order, you must know who the head is. Yeah? We don't have 3 heads. You must know what the order of the structure is in the local church. And when push comes to shove, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, and the decision is made by whoever the head is, that is what it is. That is how it stays. That is what. So you are the one that will submit. That was, like I said, it would be very unfair of you to be thinking that, I say, even if a pastor tells me to go and kill somebody, I'll go and do it because he's the head. Anybody who thinks that way, you know what I found out over time? I'll keep it to myself. Yeah. Anybody who, that's your response, that's your reaction to obey simple instructions, obey order. Your response is, so I say, if pastor tells me to go and, I believe that you're smart enough and discerning enough to know why you joined the local church you are in. So you trust and you believe that pastor is smart enough to be discerning by the Spirit and also to be able to follow God's word. So why are you looking for the extreme? I can do everything that pastor will do except... No. There's no point. You know you're in a Bible-believing church. You know what we stand for. Altogether. Am I saying that... See, there are people who start out innocently, eventually don't end up innocently. Let me tell you, as a saint, there's some things you don't put within the confines of your thoughts. You know, I said it in our last teaching. Yeah, don't have that thing that your husband will do to you that you say, the day you do this, I would never in my life forgive you. I'm saying, there's every possibility that when that time comes, you find it very difficult to forgive. But don't ahead of time anticipate it. Put a list. This is a category of things I can't forgive. The day my wife lies to me, the day my husband lies to me, that's the end. No. Yeah, deal breakers. I think that's what I was looking for. And I was listening to what I taught last week and Wednesday as well. And I saw when I was, you know, cracking. Yeah, deal breakers. Yeah, it breaks. No. Yeah, there will be times and points where the king, Solomon, will say, divide the child into two. And what he's doing is just to observe what your body language will be. You know, that's all he did there. He just said, divide the baby. It doesn't make sense for someone to say, divide the baby into two. What he was doing with that singular instruction was to observe. Let me tell you something. The Paul will say it. Yeah, men who you find around you who want to, you know, handle responsibility, levels of responsibility, there's such a thing called proving people. God proves people. Yeah, sometimes pastor will just give an instruction and just watch how you will deal with it. Watch how you will argue. Yeah, he might not give you a feedback on it, but that watching how you will argue stays with pastor. And he knows what to do the next time. Your leader will say, this is what you need to do, that's what you need to do. And it might not really mean that you should really do it. Because the truth is, there was a sword that was already given to Solomon, for what I can suspect. Even if, you know why you can suspect that? Because Solomon as the king will be well guarded, and an average person around him should have a sword. So the sword is not far-fetched. And it says, divide the baby into two. And what happens? The woman said, you know what? Well, let it be to her. Then I'll say, no, don't give it to me. I don't like people that pity me. Don't pity party me. No. Don't pity. I don't like people who just pity party me. No. I just want it to be, you know, a very, very frank situation. Divide the baby into two and give me one. What's she asking for? For the two babies of the woman to be dead. Some people, they have nothing to lose, but they just want to destroy every other thing that other people have to gain. That's what she wanted to do. She just wanted to ensure that she was not the only one grieving, if that's a word. Altogether. Now that's Solomon. So there's such a thing called having a high estimation of the church. Having a high estimation of the things we do. We call them sacred. Like I said, there are only two people in the church. So in the coming year, ask yourself a simple question. Are you helping in building or you're helping in destroying? Are you helping in building or you're helping in destroying? You're either doing any of the other. Altogether. Church starts at 9 o'clock in Nigerian church. Right? It's 9 o'clock, you leave your house. Are you helping to build? Are you helping to destroy? Answer that question in your heart. If everyone behaved the way you behaved, right, and everybody came at 9:25, who will start service? Who will be in church when church starts? Altogether. Who will be in church when church starts? If everybody behaves the way you are behaving in local church, right? Some people just feel like, you know, you're at work, you act unruly, your boss calls you to order, and changes it for you, I correct you. And tells you to do it again, he sacks you. What's the worst you will do? You can't look for another job. If a boss comes and tells you, from today, you're no longer a member of staff of this company, and he tells the entire company, what do you have to do there? Yeah? What do you have? You pack your load and leave the place. Are we together? Yeah? Or you beg. You know, but some people, they like it to happen at work, you know, but they want to act unruly to the extreme. They want to act unruly to the extreme and push everyone to the wall, and they will hide behind this church. They are not loving people. They don't forgive. They put those that are embarrassed, they open them and open their flaws. If we do not know the flaws of other people in the Bible, if others did not write it down, you will not know today. Yeah, is the church a place where we just keep exposing people's faults? No, there are faults, there are things that people do that you call privately and correct. But there are things because of the implication it does to people, because of the implication, the damage it does to people, you call it out open. Like I did earlier in the year, there's never a time where cohabiting. You don't live with a man you are not married to. You don't live with a woman you are not married to. Yeah. Yeah, it's shameful for you as a person. You are somebody who you are not married to. You go there and go and put one box in their house, right? At any time I come, I just quickly just come and, you know, I don't spend too long, but we just come to church together and just fellowship. No, you should be ashamed of yourself. Altogether, I'm trying to say there are other things you should be ashamed of, really. But I'm trying to say it's to an extreme for you to say. So in God's palace, it's not scriptural. Are we together? It's not scriptural. Can people make mistakes? Yes, but that does not mean because you know people will make mistakes. You know people, they will now make the mistake, so they will call it a mistake. No, you can be smarter than that. Yeah, you can be smarter than that. At no time is it legal, is not allowed. Scripturally, as a church, as a unit, yes, I'm on is too much. Yeah, but on your wedding day, both of you come from the same house for me to come and join you. No, it shouldn't be that way. Altogether, it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
So one of the things you will find out in the local church is that there is order. And also, things just don't go anyhow.
Yeah.
People want to come to church and be unruly. How? Do you understand? Right? And you know, when I come to church, I want to be eating my sandwich and be using one hand to hear the word. No. I don't think we do that even. The best you see people even do in the lectures of universities is having a drink beside them. I even know how coded they even try to even shield it. When you come to church, pastor is preaching. You open the Bible somewhere a few months ago. Pastor was preaching. Everybody was quiet and listening. Somebody had a effort and audacity to bring out a bottle of this pint of Coke and open it. Shh, and did like this. And you open Sprite and you open it and everybody saw the water drop and just saying, it didn't even flinch. And just saying, yes. And he puts his hand and starts writing, what is that? Yeah, somebody else drink eating sandwich. Yeah, you brought sandwich to church, bread and listening, you open it in church, you are eating it. Don't you first know that the smell of that even distracts people around you? Yeah, okay, if pastor allows bread and sandwich or toasted bread and egg, what will happen if somebody opens egusi in church? Are we together? What will happen if somebody opens ogbono and red oil stew in church? That's why there should be order. Yeah, you notice in the local church, you see the mothers in the local church want to feed their children. What do? They take their children out and take them to place and feed them. You don't just sit in the church and just open palm oil stew and open chicken and just say everybody will be alright. Don't they know I'm feeding a baby? No, that's not order. You should have a sense of regard. Take that food outside. Take it out. Go out. Yeah? Go and feed the baby. Then come back in. Do you understand? You know, because you will know where you start. You will not know where you end. One day, somebody will open pan the dam in front of pastor. And open, you know, there's a soup. The Greek name is called ogbono. Right, there's a soup like that, and someone just opens it. Yeah, it's sort of drawing. It draws a lot. Yeah, that's the Greek etymology. Yeah, in fact, the root word deals with the word drawing. It just draws. Like another word, similar word synonym is dragging. When you touch it, it drags. Imagine somebody eating like I know people are so gullible they will do it. Why? You can give people a step to start, but you don't know where they will end. So the church is not a place where people just act unruly. So if pastor calls your attention to order and say, stop eating in church. Yeah. Say, to eat. Go to the church. Don't give people headache. Don't give people headache. It's not hard. Go there. Pack your Bible. Go there. Or go and start your own. Start your own. So that all you do is just share food. And as you're sharing food, somebody is just playing audio of your teaching at the back. Yeah. You don't teach people. Just record your audio. Put cassette in the dining room, let people just be playing, and that's Sunday service, then you just set table and be it. Go and do your own. But the moment you come to a place, the pastor, the leadership will say, this is what we want to be done here. Right? This is what should be done here. And what happens here, it might not sit well with you always. Don't act unruly. If pastor calls your attention to that and say, I think I don't like the way you responded to that. Can you explain? Oh, you explain. Oh, pastor, I didn't mean it. This is what happened. Yeah, can you be upset at that point? Yes, you can be upset. But the truth remains that there is order in the church. There is order in the church. There is order in the church. All together. Yeah? So people like to act in anyhow they feel they didn't fit in the local church. And they don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be corrected. No, the church is a place, right, where people come and they are trained and they are instructed, and instruction comes with correction. Altogether, instruction comes with correction. Yeah, the truth is, you find that your pastor doesn't correct you every day. That's the truth. You find out that your pastor doesn't correct you every week, doesn't correct you every month. Altogether, your pastor heals you January, heals you February, heals you March. It doesn't mean that in those January, February, March, he's saying good things about you. He didn't see some things that you could have done better, and he might not say anything about it. Yeah. April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Another year happens again, January, February. And February after 1 year plus. Your pastor says, you shouldn't be behaving that way. Oh, you're still coming late to church. You shouldn't be coming late to church. Right? Yeah? What do? You adjust. Like I said, if you don't want to be corrected, just do the right thing. Observe your environment. Observe what is tolerated here. Yeah? I'm always careful about people who always... I remember there's someone who came to church that way. I knew the person will not last. You can't come to a place and everything you are saying is about your former church. You know, my former church, you know, we don't usually, we just take announcement, we just say, in my former church, in my former church, why is he former? You know, for the person, the church was even in the same city. Why did you leave the place? My former church, my former church. No, yeah? When you switch, when you change. Yeah? If you go to another local church, right, where it is the practice of the church, you say, everybody call your leader by your first name. That is that church. All together, yeah? You don't just come to the pastor and say, Temi, you good? Temi, you good, yeah? Or you call my mom, Yemo, Yemusi, yeah? Or take some life of Yemusi. Where did we get there? You know, a lot of us, even this Western practice we have, I've seen Western churches. I see how a lot of them still read. That does not mean there are no other Western churches who behave in such a manner. That's whatever it is. But we make it look like it's an impossible thing. It's culture. No, honor is not only culture. Every culture accepts honor. Everybody likes to be honored. Everybody likes honor. They give birth to you at the back of one village in the Kerekiti. You travel abroad one moment. There's a way you treat your pastors with reverence. You go to your place and say, hi, Nick, you all right? Hope you're doing good, Nick. No, now, that's dishonor. Because a lot of times, people struggle with those things. People, you begin to intentionally want to look around. No, there's no way. I have lots of, let me tell you something, in case you don't know this. There's some pastors in Edinburgh who actually, over time, over the past few years, you know, they've gathered themselves together, asked me several times to come and speak to them. I've had opportunities severally to speak to them in God's word, teach them doctrinally. Some of them, and none of them is African, none. Yeah, and in all of that, when I see their names on my phone, when I relate with them, hello, pastor. Yes, they call me church. That's their culture. My own honor did not reach to be calling them first name. Those are pastors as well who asked me to come and speak with them in their numbers. I'm not talking about 5-10 people. Yeah, he said, no, you are not woke. I'm not that woke. Your pastor, bro. You are telling your pastor, bro, how are you, bro? And that's why, let me touch that. Yeah? So in the real sense, Solomon would give a counsel altogether. And in giving that counsel, we now see, we observe, this body's posture, this person's body posture is not the godly, is not the godly one. Let me show you a quick example before we move on today. 13. I'll read this today, say a few things about it today, and I'll take it up again on Wednesday. We're going to focus on Jonadab and Absalom on the 1st of January. What a way to start the year. Yeah? Look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 13, verse 1 to 20. Okay? 2 Samuel 13, verse 1 to 20. Why am I saying these things? You know what I found out? People will take them for granted. People will act in very unruly ways. Altogether. And you know, I found out again that a lot of people, when they act unruly, they know. They are testing the waters. They are trying to test it. They're just trying to test it. Do you understand? You know, you must know the difference in how you regard your leaders. And how you also need to regard fellow saints as well. Saints even as well who are not members of a local church. Saints generally, there's a sense of honor. Altogether. Yeah? If my friend, you know, calls me my first name, right? Yeah? In the real sense, that's my friend. Am I pastoring him? I might not be pastoring him. Altogether. You know, but I had to call my brother to that recently. You know, I found out that he was calling. So, I'm sure he's listening to me. Yeah? I have a friend. Who my brother has a relationship with. And I found out that in his relationship with that person, he calls the person bro. And he can tell you, I caution him, you don't call my friends bro. My friends are not your bro. I'm not woke. I agree. I'm teaching extra biblical philosophy. That's your business. Yeah? But I'm just trying to give you an example. My friend is not your bro. My friend is older than you with a couple years. You don't call him bro. What is bro? It doesn't change the fact if that my friend's brother, younger brother who is my brother's age mate, is calling me bro, he's left for his brother to correct him. That's his business. But don't call people who are older than you. You know, just say bro. No, you can finish it with brother. Why am I talking this way? I'm saying it because there is this unspoken conversation that think because the world is appreciating technology, we can act unruly to people. If you go to a church and pastor say you should call him Reverend Pastor Sir, you don't need to fight it. The moment you are not comfortable with it, go and start your church, or you go and look for a church where you will not call them Reverend Pastor Sir. It's simple. I'm just trying to tell you there are others that need to be found in the local church. I'm saying there's a universal local church. Structures and patterns and methods of relationship interactions in local church, they're not necessarily things that we just say they must all be the same. No, it might differ. It might differ. Like I say, there's no perfect church anywhere. The day you find a perfect church, you have made that church imperfect. Yeah, let me show you something, 2 Samuel 30. And this is so that you can guard your heart in the coming days. Right? Now look at 2 Samuel 13, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. Are you following? Her name was what? Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. So Amnon loved his sister. And Amnon was so vexed, and he fell sick for his sister. That means he fell in love. I can say that differently. Yeah, he fell in love for his sister Tamar. She was a virgin. Altogether, right? You know that word virgin is not in every Bible context that it means someone without sex. Altogether. A lot of times can be used as just a young lady. Altogether, right? And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But look at what now happens. Association. Amnon had a friend whose name was what? Jonadab. Where was the beginning of trouble in the house that David was speaking? Was building. The beginning of trouble in the house that David was building was the friend of Amnon. What's his name? Jonadab. If there was no Jonadab, Absalom might not have acted the way Absalom eventually did, such that he killed his brother 2 years after. We're going to read it today. Jonadab, who are you listening to? Who are you speaking to? Who are you allowing to influence you? Who are you allowing to speak into your heart, speak into your ears? You're in a local church. This is what pastor teaches. But there's somebody in the local church who teaches different. Say, me, I don't believe what pastor teaches on this matter. And you are sitting there. No, both of you should pack your load and go and open a church. Both of you should go and look for a pastor where you will listen to. You know, it's a very different narrative when, you know, you can have a different doctrinal persuasion to what the church believes, right? The first person and only person you speak to on that narrative is the pastor. Ah, pastor, I don't believe on this. I don't believe in laying on of hands. So pastor will know when he wants to lay hands on you, he will first ask you, can I touch your body? At least if you don't believe it, maybe something can still happen. I don't believe in the way pastor lay hands. No, I don't really believe in the way pastor lay hands. No, I don't really believe. I always stand all through, you know. Don't use your own to spoil people's own. Who are you listening to? Let me ask you a question you start your year with. Who is Jonadab to you in the local church? Let me say it differently. Who is Jonadab to you regarding matters of the local church? And I want this to instruct your heart very carefully. I'm not fell in love with the sister. But you know, there are some desires that are there that if you don't have a Jonadab that will fuel it, it might die a natural death. I hope you are listening to me today. So Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. He is the son of Shimei, David's brother. That means they were slightly related. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. You know those who are subtle around you. You know. You know that some people, if you want to walk in the flesh, there's some people I can call if I want to walk in the flesh, right? And I know they will tell me not to walk in the flesh. And there's some people I know, if I want to walk in the flesh, I will give them a call. They will give me more. They will give me more reasons to walk in the flesh. No, don't take that nonsense. No. Don't take that nonsense. How? If I were you. Yeah. You should have godly friends. Yeah. The works of the flesh in this world already, they're already very strenuous. By default, it almost feels like the flesh is already always by default having control over the fruit of the spirit. By default, almost looks like, mind you. So now I have more friends that are in your circle who are pumping the flesh activity. He did that to you and you slapped him. You didn't knock him. You only slapped him. You should tear him dirty slap. Jonadab. You say, there's this girl I'm liking. Yeah. There are friends I know who will call me to order and say, there's this girl. Obviously, I'm married. Yeah. But you say, be careful of that girl. She looks very decent on the outside, but be very careful until you don't enter one chance. Yeah. Whose decision is it eventually? It's my own. But you know, some of those your friends, the counsel they give can sow terrible seeds. They can sow terrible seeds. You know, somebody acted some way recently, and I just knew that this thing was only done because he allowed a Jonadab in his life. Yeah, that's the only way it happened. Yeah. There's some things that will just die natural death. Even though you thought it, you think it. But the moment you allow a Jonadab, you're in trouble. Yeah? Some of us don't like to read this portion of the scriptures. You like when I'm shouting, I've used this year to preach, you are righteous, you are holy. I've taught you believers authority. I've taught you how to win souls. I've taught you spiritual gifts. Some of you did not know how to see in the spirit. Eh? We've taught you how to do it. You've practiced it. You've grown. Some of you only tongues you need when we come to God's palace. Now you can see in the spirit. You have word of knowledge. Eh? You've grown. And allow me for days like this to also bring to your correction things you need to be careful about. Who is Jonadab? Jonadab might be your relative. He might be your friend. You know, Jonadab might not even be a member of your church. But the fact that Jonadab is not a member of your church does not change his name from being Jonadab. A word is enough for those who are wise. Are we together? Now, so Jonadab now said he was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou being a king's son, lean from day to day? He said, my brother, it looks like you are losing weight. Is everything okay? That's Jonadab for you. He says, will you not tell me what is wrong with you? I'm not new that Jonadab. I've sent you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, who are as cunning as serpents. That's Jonadab. Jonadab was a wolf. You know, wolves can be in sheep clothing, and they are a member. I hope you know that a wolf can be a member of the church that shows commitment in the church. I remember a few years ago, my dad had to take that very bold step to turn the wolf out. Yeah, 3 years ago. Yeah, and the wolf was a member of his family. Are we together? Yeah? Now, can wolves change tomorrow? No, wolves can be wolves yesterday, but they are not wolves today. But a wolf that was a wolf was a wolf. Are we together? They might become more born again and generally. Yeah, so you should have those narratives that you shield your mind from. Yeah? They are always wolves in sheep clothes, always showing extra care. My brother, why are you getting lean from time to time? You're not telling, I'm falling in love with that girl. They will not tell you, but that girl is this stuff. Are you stupid? They will not correct you. They will say, but you know how to go about it. For you know you have the lean of the spirit. And they can come with utterance. And for you know and you see. And as you proceed and you proceed, for you know. What is you know? What do we know? And what they are doing, they are sowing seeds into your heart. That's what Jonadab did. He said, why are you lean? They come as caring. I'm not saying anybody that is caring in Jonadab. No, that would be very unfair of you to hear that. Right? But you're losing weight. What is really happening? You're getting lean from this. Are you not eating? What exactly? What is troubling you? Tell me. Don't tell them. You see, you should be very discerning enough to know who to tell what the challenges you have are and who not to tell. You know, your pastor can correct you and you tell somebody and they say, who takes that nonsense? And if I don't correct you, there's people I will tell. And they say, but MG, if they don't correct you, how will you be better? How are you? You need to have people like that in your life. If everybody in your life is just always saying the thing you want to say, destruction and weeks at the door. You don't have anybody that corrects you. And even the people who are supposed to be your friends, you are the one that's always dominating over them, giving them instruction, showing them you are the one that have been in ministry for a long time. No, it's a pitfall that many people fall into. Are we together? He says, and said unto him, why are you lean? Will you not tell me? Yeah, a singer said, I'm in love with two women. This one said, I'm in love with my sister. My brother Absalom's sister. You should have friends who will tell you, you should have friends who will tell you, you must be stupid when you see something like this. But you know something in our world? Because eventually you really want to sleep with your sister, right? Even if you have friends who say you must be stupid, you will fight them. How will you talk to me so brashly like that? Who are you? Because I don't spoke to you. You must be stupid is a way that they can reset your brain. I'm not saying you should go around and be telling people, no, that's not what I'm saying. You should go and tell people you must be stupid. You know, you should have friends who can go and say, bro, it's like stupidity is beginning to whine you. Do you understand? Or stupidity is at your doormat. You know, I have some friends, when they tell me some things, I don't need to talk. I just will say, I know what I'm saying. Bless their hearts. Yeah, I don't need to talk. I think there are just some friends like that. And some friends, if I know I want to walk in the flesh, just give them a call. Ah, hey, bro, how you doing, mate? Are you okay? I'm just thinking of actually going to sleep out in a hotel. Just to stay, see some of my friends somewhere around Newcastle. You know, my wife is not aware of saying, hey, really? And she used my car. I have friends like that. And I know. Are we together? Right? Yeah? But they should have those kind of friends. Ah, it's like something is whining you. You know, some of those Yoruba slangs that some of us can use. Right? Is something tying your brain? You should have those kind of friends. Not Jonadab. Eh? You love your sister. Wow. See, wow, that's Rema. And they will not turn into believers meeting. And I see, for there is an army that God is building, and it will start with you and your sister. For thus says the Lord. For it will start, and it will start with you and your sister. It won't end with you. Those are friends. You know, people can use their carnal mind to minister to you with tongues and interpretation. Praise God. Right? I love Tamar, my brother, after my sister. Look at what Jonadab said unto him. You know what you do? I have a plan. Lay down for 3 days. Lay thee down on the bed, rather, and make yourself sick. That means act like you are sick. And when your father comes to see you, say unto him, please, I pray, let my sister come. Now, when pastor, who is the father, now hears your request, you know pastor needs to be descending again to know which one is true, which one is fake. But you know, because they are related, pastor can feel, oh, that's the sister now, nothing bad should happen. Listen, I'm thinking that, imagine I had a sister, right? In all sincerity, imagine I had a stepsister. And my father was the father of, you know, of them. I don't have any, really. You know, I have just one brother and a sister, right? But imagine I had one, you know. And my father saw I was sick. And I said, no, I want to see my stepsister. You know, in his innocence, you just think there's a bond that's between us that, you know, she can make me laugh. That's what happened. And Jonadab said, just lie down as though you are sick. And when your father comes, and because he knows your father is caring, when your father comes, just tell him, I want my sister Tamar to come and give me meat and dress the meat in my side that I may see it and eat it at her hand. Ten, ten, ten. Don't lay down and made himself sick. There are counsels you receive. Right, and when you finally receive it, you go and pray. I remember I was with some of my friends, a couple. I won't tell you when, so I don't know who, and they don't even know when. If they are the ones listening to me, and they're telling me some things I need to do in ministry and some things I need to do, you know. And I made it a decision in my mind to take out time to pray rigorously. There's some counsels you will hear, and it's not just enough for you to disperse it; it's to pray against that counsel. You will pray. You will pray against it. You will labor rigorously pray for your heart. Yet, it's not enough to just dispel it. Jonadab will give Amnon counsel. And what will happen? Jonadab will not be there. And he will step out. I'll give you the second part of the story, but let me just finish this part. Right? And he says, the king came to him, that's his father. Amnon said unto his father, I pray thee, please let my sister come. Yeah, you know, so when Jonadab was giving Amnon instruction, what did Jonadab say? Instructed. And what did Amnon say? Instructed my dear cousin, my dear relative, my dear brother. Instructed. I will act on the word, right? Jonadab might have ended his talk and interpretation with, do well to act on the word. Do well to act on the word. For you see, in acting on the word, you see much more fruition. Yeah? That's the fruition we now see. See the fruition? Watch out. Then David sent, he gave the exact words that Jonadab asked him to say. David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother's house, innocent lady, I went together, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan, put them out before him, but he refused to eat. Why? He had other intentions. And they went out every man from him. So everybody left only him and his sister. You should not assume anything. Do you understand? If a pastor, for instance, is left alone with his wife, you will not assume anything. If a pastor is left alone with his sister, you ideally should not assume anything. If a pastor is left alone with his sister, first of all, your mind is already robbing, no matter how innocent you think you want to be. Altogether. And what now happens? Bible says that only two of them were there together. It's in your Bible. I hope you are there. 2 Samuel 13. And when she brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her. And what happened? He said unto her, come and lie with me, my sister. And she answered him and said, no, you're my brother. Don't force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. That means this is an abomination. Altogether, do not doubt this brutishness. That's the word fully. Yeah? Do not doubt this fully. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of many fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, and he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he will not hearken unto our voice. That means he didn't listen to the woman. Why? Because he has allowed counsel from Jonadab. Let me tell you, dear saints, there are counsels you will hear from people. You cannot unhear it again. It follows you till it follows you into the pitfall. Even when your mind wants to be recautioned back, people will give you counsel, say certain things to you. It follows you right into the pitfall. You can't unhear it, so you had better not hear it. And together. So what happens to Amnon? Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than her, what happened? She forced her and she laid with her. So what did Amnon do? He raped his sister. Is that terrible? That's maliciously, ridiculously terrible. Where did it start from? A desire that was well fueled by somebody who might have come with utterances. I saw like a snail in a shell, and you expounded so much that the shell just cracked. Yeah, and I see you stepping into new grounds, right? If any of you have anybody that gives you that kind of utterance, better run to your pastor. What your pastor should help you do is to, first of all, you will know who is saying it. Second of all, he can be discerning enough to know even if that's what you need to do. Break new ground. And I see, for the ground you are in, it looks like a dry ground. And I see you breaking fallow, breaking new grounds. And you're breaking new grounds and you're advancing. And many were following just as you lead with your touch of light. My dear, better be careful of Jonadab. I wish you guys. See, there are people who have started churches today they should not have started in their lives. Because of the counsel of men like Jonadab. There are people who should have not left their spiritual authority, their spiritual father, their spiritual parenting, but because of voices like that of Jonadab. In our world today, because they've taught you how to do tongues and interpretation, you can use tongues and interpretation to manipulate people out of the will of God. I hope you know you can do that. That's why, do you know, some people say that, you know, once you minister and demonstrate the things of the Spirit, everything you say, you know, somebody was saying that they always have problems with Pentecostal pastors, right? Somebody elderly, really. That because when they minister in the things of the Spirit, you can't trust the next thing they will say. Someone can actually accurately act in the things of the Spirit, give you a word of knowledge that makes you accurate, but they will use flesh to do word of wisdom. Things are happening. They will use spirit to do word of knowledge and use flesh to do word of wisdom. Are we together? I see that you break forth. For the ground you're in, I see you around the water that is not flowing. And I saw, and I closed my eyes and I opened, and I saw you in the water, and there was water that was gushing. And I asked the Lord, what do we call you? And he said, yeah. And I asked the Lord, what do we do regarding this? And the Lord said, for it's time to proceed. I'm not saying there are not times where things like that will happen. But remember, you're already somebody who already had desire to sleep with your sister. You know your heart. You know where your heart was before that utterance came. You know that you are planning to leave church because they corrected you. How would that utterance not make sense to you? More often than not, people find themselves in those situations. You know, there's some things that once you do, you just leave a foothold for the devil. Get your heart back to order. As I always say, yeah, it's easy for you to talk about believers' authority, talk about we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But there are things you stay away from. And there are things that even if you choose not to stay away from because of your ignorant wisdom or ignorant knowledge, you might pay for it and never recover. Yeah, that's hard. Some of us don't want to hear it. That's the truth. You might pay for it and never recover. Yeah, the situations of people. I've seen people who have walked out of relationships. I'm not saying everybody, you know, must have just right in their life. No. But I've seen people who have walked out of relationship. In fact, you know, interested until this morning, I woke up to an apology for money. It's wise for you to know. But I'm seeing there's people that don't recover from it. Truth remains. right? In a day of reconciliation, what he had battled with for weeks into months got sorted from that day. Just one day. They didn't change the fact that he was committed in his local church. He was committed, very committed. I can believe that. Didn't change the fact that he was praying every day. But it just a reconciliation altered what he had tampered, what he had suffered from for over 2 months. There are relationships you need to be careful from. There are relationships you need to foster, need to guide, need to keep. Don't allow the voices of Jonadab. Don't allow the voices of Jonadab to get you. Because a lot of times what we want to do is we want to hear, right? We want people to tell us what we want to hear. We want people to say, oh, no. I can see that there's no. There is nothing. Nothing. Even before you get those kind of social act on it, ensure your heart is in the right place. Where was your heart before that word of wisdom came? I'm saying I can minister to you by word of knowledge, give you the name of your account, give you your account number, tell you the clothes you wore yesterday, tell you what you ate this morning, tell you what you are doing right now. We've done it in church, you know all of these things, right? And I will end it in the flesh and give you a word of wisdom from the spirits. You know, I had to jump up for that. From the spirits of Jonadab. It happens in local church. In the coming year, I say to you, dear saints, be mindful, be careful. Be mindful, be careful. Be mindful, be careful. You find those who begin to act strangely because you know they were corrected. Be mindful of the words they say to you. Be mindful of things. You know, we'll be able to trace back to where Jonadab, you know, came from. If we don't do it on Wednesday, probably in our local church series episode 2 or season series 2. Yeah, be mindful, be intentional. The words you hear, the things you say, the cycle you allow. Yeah, somebody decides to step down from leadership, that becomes your best friend. Be mindful, be careful. They will say words to you. Now, a lot of times they might not come out clear. I'm not saying that everybody is who you should be mindful of, but I'm telling you, evidently speaking, yeah. You go to the same place, you do the same thing, that becomes your best. Somebody that decided, someone that was given the responsibility in local church, all of a sudden steps down, and that's your best friend. Be careful. Yeah? Be careful. Some people, they didn't plan to be Jonadabs, but eventually they function under the spirit of Jonadab. You'll see what will happen that will now produce Absalom. There will be conversations like Jonadab. Someone disregards your pastor. Someone disregards your leader. And that's your best friend. And you knew what was happening. You knew that this is... You know, we just need to just move on and just... I'm telling you for free. Jonadab will start walking. Like I told you earlier on in this teaching, not so many people who are corrected, that don't like the correction, will tell you the full story, the full picture. They won't tell you the other times that they were pardoned. They won't tell you the other times that they were privately called. That's what the devil does. And I say to you, be extremely careful in the coming year. Make up your mind to be intentional about the words, the voices you hear, the things you say. Jonadab might be a member of the family of David. He doesn't change his name. Listen to what you're saying. You have friends, you have people, you have colleagues who are saying your service in local church is too much. Why are they asking us to come for evangelism? How will we take 2 Saturdays of my month to come and win souls? What else would you rather be doing? How will you take two of my son and say, no, I don't believe in all this very rigorous teaching. Yeah? If that's not your church, face your business. Focus on your mind. Those seeds are being sown. You have a friend who is telling you are going to church too much. I said there's some things you hear, you pray against it. You pray against it. You deliberately pray against it. You pray deliberately against it. Else, just give it a few weeks. Give it a few months. Give it a few years. Give it a few years. Give it a few years. Be careful. I say to you, dear saints, I've said be careful more than many times today now. Be careful. There's a reason. Be careful. Be intentional about your space. Be intentional about your heart. Yeah? Who ends up losing? It is you who was poisoned. You know, I'm not eventually died. We'll look at that on Wednesday. I'm not eventually died by hearkening to a counsel of Jonadab. People lose their lives by hearkening to wrong counsel. The wife of Ananias and Sapphira, the wife Sapphira, right? Whoever knows, it might have been the husband, I can't really remember. It might have been somebody else that gave them that suggestion to lie to Peter. Who ended up, we don't have the story of who would have counseled them if there was any. But counsels, they might not be able to recover from it. Let me tell you, that is not a teaching against the grace and the mercy of God. But you know, there's some things you can just get yourself to do, just so that you don't get yourself unnecessarily worked up. Keep your heart. Well, been a pleasure to bring God's word to you today. I believe that today was really instructive. Yeah, you know what I'll say to you? Even me, as a pastor who preached to you on Wednesday, I have between Wednesday and today listened to my preaching. Altogether, right? So I expect you. I prepared my notes. I listened to my teaching between Wednesday, today, Sunday. I listened to you before Friday. Altogether. So I expect that you do the same as well. Let me tell you, I've said a lot in 2 hours. Take our time. Ponder, listen again. Where you need to be corrected. See, don't raise shoulder. Pastor did not preach to you. He's not talking to you. He's not using you as example. Let's assume he is. Yeah, if you need to be corrected, be corrected. If you need to act on the corrections, act on it. Listen to it again between now and Wednesday. We'll pick it up again from there. Look at Jonathan. Look at Amnon. Look at Tamar. Look at how Absalom came in. You will not find out how Ahithophel eventually came on the North King. Well, been a pleasure to bring us all your way. Once again, this is our last service of the year. Thank you so much for giving me your attention through the year. Thank you so much for Nigerian Church for supporting, you know, Pastor Temi and Mommy as well. Thank you, Pastor Temi, as well for all you do in Nigerian Church as well as Mommy. And then also to all the cell leaders, right? Thank you for all your commitment through the year. Right, we're only here because of you. For those of you who have had sleepless nights with me, those of you who have taken our time out of your comfort zone to ensure that you do God's will, to lead others, leave your comfort zone to go visit others. Thank you all for leaders in the UK church. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for all that you do. I trust that in the coming year, that you and I will do much more for the kingdom. You know, in the coming year, we're going to experience, you know, a doubling of our efforts, a doubling of our energy, and also a doubling of our results in the coming year. We're going to experience much more than ever before. Get ready for 2025. A lot of things will happen and happen fast. But get yourself equipped. Get yourself ready. Thank you all as well, members of Nigerian Church, members of UK Church. And for those of you who I've never have met, who would have reached out to me one way or the other talking about how they followed us, thank you for always coming around. And thank you for at least listening to God's word. And I hope it's transforming your heart. Until I see you again on the 1st of January, Happy New Year in advance. I love you all so dearly.